So we'll try to do this. This is really, excuse me, advanced material. So we're going to go into the summation that you've read the Word of Yahweh and you have the beginning to the end. But it's very important in our minds to be able to realize that we can explain to somebody else. And then when somebody comes up with information, we know the Word good enough to say that's in the Word or it's not in the Word and it's just garbage. It contradicts the whole concept of the Word. We begin right now with, if you don't use the Rotherham Bible, you are deceived. Very simply. If you don't have an accurate Bible, you're automatically deceived right off the bat. And so, some people don't mind being deceived. Alright? God, Lord, Jehovah, you know, it really doesn't matter. And that's fine. You know, there are babes. You know, you get through, but you're never going to bring the deliverance, and you're never going to live in the capacity that Yahweh gave us His book. And most people, even in their lifetime, have no intentions ever to reading it once, ever. And I thought, how many people died to give that book, or even to now you have an audio form, you can listen to it with complete ease all day. We have a program right now. Then in 34 hours, chronologically, you can listen from Genesis to Revelation. The whole story. 34 hours. Going to work, half hour, coming back a half hour, that's 34 days. All the way through the Bible. All the way through the Word of Yahweh. So that's that simple. Alright. So we'll begin on this overview of mankind. Is very important to say what's going on. Well, Yahweh is going to tell us what's going on. He's going to tell us the past, how it fell, and also He's going to tell us the present, and also He's going to tell us the future of how it's going to end. But we must first look at lies spoken by the Christian church. So here's a few of them. And so these are lies, and they're called diversionary tactics. So we have to remember, obviously, we have an adversary, and our adversary's objective is to foil everything that Yahweh does. And he does it through the ministers, and false apostles, and good apostles. And so you have, Apostle Paul being Peter being reprimanded by Paul. You have Aharon, Aaron, making a pagan god. And so this, where he goes is unlimited. So we can't assume this person is always speaking the truth. We have to go to the Word. So, here's the lies, a list of them. Man is immortal. That is a lie. The soul is immortal. That is a lie. It has nothing to do with the Word. So none of these things have anything to do with this book. Only the body dies. Everything else goes to heaven or hell. That's a lie. People are already in heaven before Christ's sacrifice. And so this just makes sense. If Moses and Elijah and Enoch and David are all in heaven before Christ was even born, what's the purpose of Christ? What's the purpose? There's no purpose. They're already there. And we're going to find out, no, nobody's there. Everybody's asleep. Still asleep. There's no need of a Savior if everybody's already in heaven. Hell, we've been taught, which doesn't exist, was ruled by Satan and demons everlastingly. So in the Rotherham Bible and the Young's, the word hell does not exist and doesn't exist in the Hebrew or Greek. The lies are there are three gods and one God is really what it comes down to. That Jesus is the Creator. No, He's not the Creator. Yahweh is the Creator. That God, the Holy Spirit, was not active in the Old Testament, or very little active, because they don't understand why He's never mentioned. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you got the Gospel of John, and all of a sudden you have all this Holy Spirit talk. So they're going to say He just wasn't active, the God, the Holy Spirit. And obviously, you know, there's no God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, no Trinity. Judgment occurs upon death. That's a lie, because everybody's asleep. That Mary, and every prophet will agree with this, Mary is the mediator, which means you pray to Mary. So Catholics, they pray to Mary in order to get a good word into the Son. And obviously, and you could ask any Protestant, is Mary alive? What would they have to say?
No,
the Protestant.
A Protestant would say Mary's, oh yeah.
Yeah, of course, everybody's alive. Well, is it going to hurt for me to talk to the mother of Christ? She's alive, right? Well, she, I mean, the Protestants were going to say yes, because everybody's alive.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody ever dies. So if everybody's alive, why don't I talk to Joseph, his stepfather, and to Mary? I mean, that just makes sense.
Yeah, Moses. Hey,
yeah, put to anybody else. Let me put up a good word. So, I mean, you see where this leads, these lies. And right now the Christian church, supposedly Christian church, says you can't be saved unless you confess the Trinity. That's a lie. And what's astounding, that Yahweh is almost forbidden to be spoken.
Yeah.
Now how did that ever come about? Yeah. And people are embarrassed to even print in their books. And they won't. They refuse to. Wow. I mean, that is diabolical. But that is...
It shows you how powerful our...
Yeah, that's the lies of the Christian church. Now we're going to speak the truths of the word of Yahweh and the supposedly Christian church. You can read 11 chapters and it tells you the whole story, except for the sacred secret. So Genesis 1 through 4, Acts 1 through 3, and Revelations 19 through 22. That's it. That's the story, except for the sacred secret. Are you saying, well, how do you know about Jesus in Acts? Because Peter, in the book of Acts, explains Jesus. His death, resurrection, what he did. So he explains all about Jesus Christ. So that is 11 chapters. But here's these truths. And here's what the word of Yahweh says.
Did you print those out for us?
Yeah. Well, okay. I have to do that, but... Yahweh is the creator. Yahweh Elohim is the creator. These are the truths that you can see in Genesis 1 to 4, Acts 1 to 3, and Revelations 19 to 22. Here's the beginning of the story. Here's the end of the story. I mean, here's the middle of the story, you know, which is the seed of the woman comes and does his thing. And then here's the end of the story. And so what are these stories? The earth was destroyed by water. That's Genesis 1 to 2. And not Noah. Mankind is to rule the heaven. No. He rules what?
The earth.
Mankind is terrestrial, not celestial. Messengers are celestial. And we know marriage is in chapter, what we're going to do is in chapter 3, or chapter, yeah, 2 of Genesis. And we have marriage. And which obviously, you know, why didn't Yahweh just make all the people all at once? Why do they all have to come to Adam and Eve? He could have just said, boom, populate the whole world. If you can make two, you can make a billion. Yeah. He did. So he wanted to come through children. So marriage and through children. You have to go, okay. The tree of life is truth. We live forever. The serpent, we find out, deceives, enemy of Yahweh. Deceived Eve. And also we know that Adam was not deceived, but chose Eve over Yahweh. Very simply thing. When it came between his wife and Yahweh, he chose Eve. And also the serpent is the enemy of mankind. Man will die. He rebelled against Yahweh, and death is part of the earth. And once death entered into the earth, we have blood that comes in. And that's obviously in the killing of Cain killed Abel. The seed of the woman is the savior of man after death came into, the destroyer of the serpent, foretold. Mankind is evil, and that's Cain, a murderer, represents the world. And so we live amongst them. So the first child is what?
A murderer.
A murderer. That shows you the heart of what can happen to mankind.
Is when sin enters.
Yeah. And there is a good, and that was called Abel. He bowed to Yahweh, but was hated by the world, and the world was Cain. The spirit is not unveiled till later, or Ruach HaKodesh. Also, the age of the sacred secret was not revealed. The seed of the woman is born, and the sperm is from Yahweh. The egg is from Mary, which is the seed of David. This Savior, the seed of the woman, was without sin, and it was a sacrifice, redeemed mankind, and eventually destroys the slanderer. And a good, you know, the devil, Diabolos, means slanderer. Have you ever seen a Democratic Party not slander?
Not lately.
This is what they are. They are the slander. The slander means falsely accused. So this is always what they, you get to find out who, how the adversary works, and it's on our TV, the news media, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, slanderers. They are components of our adversary. Willingly done. We're going to find out the world hates us. Don't get comfortable.
Yeah.
And we've been told. Unless you're part of them. And if you're part of them, they're going to kill you anyway. give them a quarter and they'll kill you if they can get away with it.
Yeah,
so don't ever think you have friends on the inside. The slanderer through murdered Christ. Yahweh awoke him, resurrection, firstborn from the dead, second in command, invisible, and he's in command of the invisible and the visible world. In our minds, we only see a physical universe. Mm-hmm. There is an unseen. So I don't want to say the supernatural because that word's incorrect. Super means above natural. Well, it's still natural. And nature actually means to be born, so that word doesn't even really have any bearing. So let's just say there's a physical world, which is atoms, and there's a non-physical, which we have no relationship except what Yahweh tells us. Those are messengers, demons, the spirit world. We know nothing about that except what this book is. We can't put it under a microscope or anything else. So that's Yahushua, and see at Yahweh's right hand. We find out the judge of mankind and slander on the earth. By Christ, the seed of the woman, justice is served, guaranteed to be served, hot or cold, whatever it takes. Death and Sheol will be destroyed, and there'll be no more death. And then the beginning of the story, is what we really say, is Yahweh returns to the earth. That is the truth. Now, let's say we go into first... And we could go through these, but, you know, let's just look at this in 1 John. The book kind of portrays these. But if you go through, if you read those 13 chapters, all this is in those 13 chapters. And how we are so deceived about, and the things that we are told, heaven and hell, not in those 13 chapters. You know, immortality of soul, not in those 13 chapters. Trinity, not in those 13 chapters. You know, and Jesus the Creator, not in those 13, I mean, it just doesn't even exist in these particular pictures. So we're going to go to 1 John, let's say, chapter 1. And we're going to see this unfold.
Page 245.
245 in the New Testament. And we'll see, one thing about 1 John and also the Gospel of John, or what they call the Gospel of John, is many times they're figures, and the figures cannot be taken literal. So just take that in mind. But we're going to take what can be taken literal, to the best of our knowledge. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 2:2. And so, and this is the message which we, and this back to the point, we're looking at the unveiling of mankind. What is all this about? How does man fit in? Where did he go wrong? We know we got an evil empire working at the same time against us, whether you like it or not. We know there's a Savior. What was his part? And so we're going to go step by step. 5. And this is the message which we have heard from him and are reporting unto you, that Yahweh is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's the truth. And if we say we have fellowship with him and in darkness are walking, we are dealing falsely and not doing the truth. Whereas if in the light we are walking as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Yahushua his son is cleansing us from all sin. We have to say, okay, this shows you what the Savior, Yahushua's point was actually, purpose of dying was, his blood redeems us, cleanses us from our sin.
Like the sacrifice in the Holy of Holies.
That's right. So we're going to see that. He sacrificed. If we say sin we have none, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. which that's what non-Christians would say, and that's called lasciviousness. And lasciviousness, or libertarians, if it doesn't hurt anybody else, it's okay. It's not sin. Which obviously, you know, having sex with animals is not going to hurt anybody, and so let's do it. And prostitution, everything else, you go into that, you know, heroin, you name it. Child pornography. So eight, if we say sin have we none, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. And if we are confessing our sins, faithful is he and righteous, that he shall forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, false are we making him, and his word is not in us. My dear children, these things am I writing unto you in order that ye may not be committing sin. So we see that sin is part of mankind. Darkness, light. And also we have freedom of will. We're choosing darkness or light. And if anyone should commit sin, an advocate have we with our Father. Well, here's another attribute of our Savior, Christ. He's an advocate, and an advocate is somebody who stands up for somebody and helps somebody. With our Father, Yahushua Mashiach, the righteous, and he is a propitiation concerning our sins. There's his purpose again. And not concerning ours only, but also concerning those of the whole world. And hereby perceive we that we understand him if his commandments we are keeping. So there's one aspect. Now we go into the world. We see that in Genesis and obviously in Revelation. We are in a dark place. And the United States, not so much so. You know, you go to Iran, you go to China, you go to Russia, you go to probably half the world.
Korea?
Yeah, North Korea. And the wickedness is just overwhelming. So the righteousness is probably 10% compared to 90% of the wickedness. And so we kind of see differently. But the world is very important. What the world stands for is not the earth, because nothing's wrong with the earth. It's the people on it.
It's in heavens.
Now, the people end up doing things. And so let's look at that. 2:15.
What?
1 John. So we're going to be going just, we're going to stay in the book of 1 John.
Okay.
Just chapter 2, verse 15. And Melania read 15 through 17.
Be not loving the world, nor yet the things that are in the world. If anyone be loving the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the coveting of the flesh, the coveting of the eyes, the vain grandeur of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and coveting thereof. But he that doeth the will of Yahweh endureth unto time's age fighting.
So we see the contrast. Coveting, you know, is our motto. I mean, it comes down to that we lust after things, and as an over desire, we can over desire for good things, which is great to serve Yahweh. We can over desire for bad things, and that gets us in trouble. But look at the last sentence in here, very interesting. But he that doeth the will of Yahweh, what happens?
Goes to heaven. No,
it doesn't say go to heaven, does it? So see, heaven doesn't enter into these things. Endureth unto time's age of body. Well, that's works. He that doeth the will of Yahweh. So we got to remember too. We got to keep that perspective that today, and I know it's very confusing about the book of Ephesians and the church epistles, is not by works of righteousness but by his grace alone. But we have to realize, we have to put that in perspective to the rest of the world is very simply, if it's not by works, what we're thinking about is we did nothing. So that means it's unilateral, not bilateral.
Explain that.
Yeah, it means it's just given to me like sunshine. It would be given to all mankind. If it's not given to all mankind, then there's a condition why we must do to receive it. And so the other point we should ask ourselves, can I refuse to love Yahweh, and I refuse to love thy neighbor as thyself, and become a Christian? Because it's not by works. And according to that statement, yes, you could, but no, because Yahushua is not your Lord. That means master. If you never do anything that he ever says, then he's not your Lord, so there has to be some action behind that.
Works.
Yeah, works. So we're going to see all this, and it really comes down to is, we're going to see that, okay, how does this all work together? And what we're really going to see is, the new earth is going to have Christ, the thousand-year reign, as Christ as this ruler. The people who are going to be there, that are immortal, that are raised, all right, are going to want to be there. They've made the commitment, I want to be here. You're my Lord, which means I'm going to bow to you. An evil person does not want to be on the new earth. Because Christ is king. Theocracy. And so if they won't obey him here, there's no way you can obey him there. So very simply. So that's why the righteous are put there. All right. So we've got to realize that works play a part, but we've got to realize that, can I save myself? No, I can't save myself. Very simply. I can't do that. And so Christ comes into the picture, that he is the Savior of all people who want to live on the new earth and bow to him.
And a lot of work for him.
And yeah, and it's works. Yeah, it's works. And we get rewarded by our works. We're going to be judged for our works. I mean, it's very simply, so with that, not by works of righteousness, and no, it's not Levitical law. And many times when people came up to Yahushua and say, what must I do to receive life age abiding? He didn't say, go to the feast days, you know, give your sacrifice and do the Levitical law. He says, you know, the Ten Commandments, which are all works, right? Love Yahweh with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Very simple. Are those works? Yes, they are works, but it was a very simple formula. But we still know if there was no Christ, which we're going to see, if Christ did not come, in my opinion, mankind would have never been made. Very simply, because they're unredeemable. So we've got to submit, so we have automatically submitted to say, I bow to Christ and I kiss your feet. Okay. That's kind of a long version. But now we're going to look at, but that is back to 15 again, or 16, or 17. And the world pass away in the covenant, but he that doeth the will of Yahweh endureth unto times age abiding. Not heaven, not hell. You're not going to see that in these books. Now we go to 2:22, chapter 2:22, and we're going to look at the false ones. There are enemies. We're amongst enemies, and you have to tell this with your daughters, and be wise as serpents, and be able to, and you got to be wise as the Father protecting them because they're out there. And who is the false one? Save he that denieth that Yahushua is the Christ, the same as the Antichrist. He that denieth the Father and the Son. Do people deny the Father and the Son?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure, and they are. What they call Antichrist. Yeah, they sure are. And that's why they want to shut down schools. That's why they want to shut down churches. And that's why they want to put homosexual teachings into them. Because they're the enemies. Whosoever denieth the Son, neither hath he the Father. Is that Judaism?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that Islam?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. He that confesseth the Son hath the Father also. And as for you, have you not heard from the beginning? In you, let it abide. If in you shall abide that which from the beginning you have heard, ye also in the Son and the Father shall abide. And this is the promise which he hath promised unto us, heaven.
Nope.
Know what to say?
Age abiding life.
Age abiding life. See, you know. Let's see, we're going to keep going. These things have I written unto you concerning them who would lead you astray. Also, there's people out there whose purpose is to do this. And as for you, We'll start there. Now we're going to go to chapter 3, verse 7. And this is still about the false ones. Dear children, let no one lead you astray. He that is doing righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He that is committing sin is of the adversary. And we know these have to be taken figuratively, because we know that Hitler did righteous things, and he did really wicked things. So we know, and we also know that we sin, and we're not of the adversary. So just kind of keep that in perspective. Because from the beginning, the adversary is sinning, and that's his slanderer. Every time you see the words adversary in the Rotherham, it's slanderer. To this end was the Son of Yahweh made manifest. Why was he made manifest? Read that, Wendy. Last verse.
Chapter 3.
I'll do it. In order that he might undo the works of the slanderer. So Christ's purpose. So here is the seed of the woman, which we see in Genesis, and we see fulfilled in Acts, and then accomplished in Revelation, is to undo the works of the slanderer. And we're going to keep reading. Let's see here, 12. Whosoever hath been born of Yahweh is not committing sin. We know that's because the seed of him within him abideth. He cannot be committing sin, because of Yahweh hath he been born. Here are manifest the children of Yahweh and the children of the slanderer. Okay, so we have two breaks. We have Cain and we have Abel. This is society. The society was so bad, you know, we think of mankind, when in Noah's time, billions of people were wiped off the face of the earth because every intention of their heart was evil. We live here. Yeah, so don't think our earth is purified. Whosoever is not doing righteousness is not of Yahweh, nor yet he that is not loving his brother. Because this is the message which we have heard from the beginning, that we should be loving one another. Not just as Cain, we see this analogy, was of the wicked one and slew his brother. Now, wait a minute. So did Cain kill Abel to get his Ferrari? How about he Cain to get his herds of cattle? So this is how diabolical or slanderous this is. For what cause slew he him? Melania?
What verse?
Come on, you guys got to be following. Wendy, go ahead and read.
Not just as Cain was of the wicked one that slew his brother. Or what cause slew he him? Because his works were wicked, whereas those of his brother were righteous.
That's all I needed. I mean, so somebody would want to kill you because you serve Yahweh.
It's like Yahushua.
Yeah, and now you've got protection because this is the spiritual kingdom we're talking about. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we've got to be on our toes. Now we'll see that the world hates us. Wow. Well, I don't like that. 3:13, chapter 3, verse 13. So we saw that with Cain killing Abel. And so here's the emblem of the wicked one. And why did he kill him? Because he loved Yahweh. And I hate Yahweh. Be not marveling, brethren, if the world is what? Melania?
Hating you.
Warned right off the bat. Now Christ's purpose is in 3:5, verse 5. And you know that Christ was made manifest. Why is he made manifest? In order that our sins he should do what?
Take
away. And the sin in him there is
none.
So here's his accomplishment. As a man, we're gonna see a very special man. He never sinned in his whole 29 years, or 28 years, or almost 30 years, when it comes down to it. I thought, okay, that's an accomplishment that he ended up doing. That's his purpose.
And then he died for us.
Chapter 4, verse 9, we're going to see more of his purpose. Herein hath the love of Yahweh in us been made manifest, that his only begotten Son, Yahweh sent into the world, in order that we might live through him. So we see the connection that through, we can only come to Yahweh through Christ. And herein is love, not that we have loved Yahweh, but that he loved us and sent forth his Son as propitiation concerning our sins, a covering of our sins. The purpose of Christ, verse 14, and we for ourselves have gazed and are bearing witness that the Father sent forth his Son as Savior of the world. The purpose of Christ. Now we're going to look at Yahweh's commandment, and this is very interesting. 4:19, we love because he first loved us. If one should say, I love Yahweh, and should be hating his brother, false is he. For he that doth not love his brother whom he hath seen, Yahweh whom he hath not seen, he cannot love. And this is commandment that have we from him, that he who loves Yahweh loves his brother also. So this is very interesting. It's going to tie two components together. The one is the Ten Commandments, which is do not do. That's just half of the story. So the other half of the story is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Period. It's not an option. And that's when we see in Matthew, let me see here, Matthew 25:31-46, the goats and the sheep, judgment is, you gave me to drink, you know, you gave me food, you clothed me. It never said, you obeyed the first commandment, the second commandment, the third commandment, the fourth commandment, and it's not what you did not do. They're receiving life, age, and body of what they did do. The other people, the goats, are going to die, not receive life, age, and body of what they did not do. So you can say, well, I haven't fornicated. That's part one. How much do you give? Well, I don't. All right? Then it says, well, how can I love God if the first commandment is I'm supposed to love Yahweh with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Then I'm not loving Yahweh with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, because he wants us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And they go hand in hand. The conclusion is 5:19. We know that of Yahweh are we, and the whole world in the wicked one is lying. Okay, that's just the facts. You know, we're going through it right now. The absolute slanderous, you know, coup that's attempting to come out on Trump, on the voters of the United States of America, to subject us to tyranny. That is the Democratic Party in the United States of America, and slavery was the same situation. Verse 20, we know moreover that the Son of Yahweh hath come, and hath given us insight, so that we are getting to understand him that is real. We are in him that is real, in his Son, Yahushua Mashiach. This is the real Yahweh, and life, age abiding. Heaven, him is not in there. Now, okay, so here's a story, but let's just really look at, and this is very important, of who is Christ. Which time we got, we're pretty good. Christ's position. And I think if we don't pray and supplicate in the name through Christ, we have missed it. So if you're praying to Yahweh and not through Christ, and this is with your daughters, it's very important to teach them. Without this bridge, we're not there. So very simply.
I was thinking of him as a door. You have to.
Yeah, it's just very simply, and what he did and how he's been exalted, we've got to realize, and this is another problem, is when they make, if you hear people pray to Jesus in the name of Jesus, well, that's just folly, you know? And I pray to, I sing a song, hallelujah, 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 we love you, Jesus. You don't know what the word hallelujah means, because that's praise ye Yah. All right, so I mean, the ignorance is in our church and in our songs is astounding, and by the pastors allowing it for whatever reason is astounding. That's the deception, the lies that come in, and that you're praying to Jesus, and nobody ever prays to Jesus through the Father. Why not? Well, how about I'm going to pray to the Spirit through the Father and through Jesus? Well, no. Why not? Because that's, you know, they're not even going to address those issues. But Christ's position, there are three births, and this is very important to teach people, that are very unique. One was Adam and Eve. They were 100% perfect, pure. So there's not a birth, there's a creation. Nobody's ever been in that situation. Only those two people have been in that situation. 100% pure. The second one was John the Immerser, because he was born with Holy Ruach. So that's as a record, that was never recorded any other place. Very special individual. The third one is Yahushua, who is the man, the mediator. What made him special is the sperm was from Yahweh. That's 100% pure. Like Adam and Eve. It comes down to the egg was from Mary, which was the seed of David. That was flawed. So we have to look at Christ. Many people say Christ was an ordinary man. No. He was a mere man. No. He was a sinless man that was the only begotten son of Yahweh. And why? Because Yahweh created the sperm that put him into existence to unite with the egg. And that's why they're getting rid of the word begotten, or have got rid of the word begotten, out of the NIV and the New Living Translation, because it shows you that one time he did not exist, and that's absolutely true. So, he did exist in the mind of Yahweh, and figuratively, Yahweh's going to talk to him, just like figuratively, he talked about Cyrus, and he talked about Elijah, and he talked about John the Immerser, and he talked about the two witnesses. So, there's Christ's position. That's how he began. Also, mankind's dead, asleep, and no hope. So all mankind was dead, whether they realized it or not, and all who are dead are asleep, and they have no hope. And this is very important. The only hope we have of all the billions of people who are dead is Christ and his resurrection. And today the resurrection doesn't even count, but that's 1 Corinthians 15:22-22. By man came death, by man also came the raising of the dead, or the waking of the dead. The unseen world was created by Yahweh, so we have to realize there's physical forces out there, or spiritual forces that are invisible that we have no idea what they are. So we're going to talk about two of those, and they're called principalities and authorities. You go, how could that be? So, okay. I didn't put those down.
Ephesians 6.
Okay, let's just go to principalities. The word is 746, and that is Ar-K. And the principality means from beginning. And actually it's translated beginning or origin. And 40 times the word is translated beginning. And it begins in Matthew 19:4. Authorities, principalities and authorities, is exousia. And we're talking about, or these are in the heavenlies, which we're going to see. Exousia is Strong's 1849, authority or power. First usage is Matthew 7:29. So we've got principality and authorities in the heavenlies, which is Ephesians 3:10. And we'll go there first. Ephesians 3:10. And so we're going to see and that is page 198. So we're going to see who is this guy, and what did he actually accomplish? Okay, 3:10. You want to read that, Wendy? I'll read it. He that descended, he is also...
Oh.
Okay.
That's not Ephesians 3:10.
Oh, I'm in 4:10. Sorry.
In order that now, unto the principalities and the authorities in the heavenlies, might be made known through means of the assembly, the manifold wisdom of Yahweh.
Just stop there. So this is the sacred secret, so we know that the principalities and authorities, where?
In the
heavenlies. Okay, these are entities, as you say, beings. Now we go to 6:12, chapter 6, verse 12. And we'll talk about that Christ spoiled them. The 6:12, because our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the principalities and the authorities, against the world holders of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. Okay, these are the entities. Go to Colossians 1:16, chapter 1, verse 16, page 205. Because in Him were created all things in the heavenlies upon the earth, the things seen and the things unseen. So this is very important. Whether thrones or lordships or principalities or authorities, they all through Him and for Him have been created. And He is before all, and they all in Him hold together. So remember, Yahweh is the father of Satan, right?
Mm-hmm.
We would call Satan, which is the... adversary and slanderer. And is he a father of demons?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Slanderers, devils? Yes. And he's a father. He's created all these authorities and principalities. Obviously, that chose wickedness.
Mm-hmm. Everything he created had freedom of will.
Yeah. And so, but they're right here, 2:15, chapter 2, verse 15. So they wanted him dead. The authorities and principalities, and in 15, spoiling the principalities and authorities. You know what spoiling is? In a battle, you took all their goods. All right? They're naked. You spoil. Spoiling the principalities and authorities, he made them an open example, celebrating a triumph over them thereby. And you can see that when a demon when people that was demonized came confronted him, boom, boom, boom. And so we get that, we have that same authority because Christ lives within us. We see in 1 Corinthians 15, and this is very important, 1:78. The story of this Messiah, Yahushua Mashiach, who is just not a man. He is a man. He's a man, one-of-a-kind man, who is actually second in charge of just not us earth dwellers, but of everything. All right? All the unseen, seen world, he's in charge of all of it. 23-28. You want to read 23-28, Wendy?
But each in his own rank, a first fruit, Christ. After that, they who are the Christ in his presence.
Well, let's stop for just a minute. We're going to get into the resurrection. The resurrection is the crux of all Christianity.
It's a crux.
The crux is the apex, the point, the focal point. It's what it's all about. Without the resurrection, none of us are going to live. Ever. We have a whole chapter dealing with the resurrection that the Christian church throws out because everybody's already alive. Who cares? I mean, there is no resurrection. Now, that's what we're talking about in the side here. Now, start over at verse 24.
Afterwards, the end. Whensoever he delivereth up the kingdom unto his God, his Elohim and Father, whensoever he shall bring to naught all rule and all authority and power.
So bring to nothing all rule, all authority, and power.
For he must needs reign until he shall put all his enemies under his feet. As a last enemy, death is to be destroyed. For he put all things in subjection under his feet.
And who is that?
Yahweh.
Yahweh put all things in subjection under his feet. I'm going to keep reading, but whensoever it shall be said, all things are in subjection, is evident that it means except Yahweh, who did put into subjection unto Yahushua the all things. Whensoever have been put into subjection unto Yahushua the all things, then the Son himself also shall be put in subjection unto Yahweh, who put in subjection unto Yahushua the all things, that Yahweh may be all things in all. So These are two different entities, very simply. They're not the same being, and they're not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, very simply. And we know that. Revelation 5, we won't read it, but if you want to know who is worthy to open up the can of whoop-ass on the earth, and the messengers aren't worthy. Nobody's in the heavenlies are worthy. But Christ is. And so, and he is worthy, they say he is worthy, and he's the one that ends up doing it. That's who Christ is. And through him, let's go to 1 John 4:7. So by not making him Yahweh, we are not degrading him in one bit. By making him Yahweh, you have degraded him. You have taken away every accomplishment that he ever did, because he's perfect. And accomplished nothing. He was, you know, not born. He always existed. He's not the seed of David. He's not the root of Jesse. He's not a man. And it goes on and on and on. So you discredit the whole word of Yahweh with this, you know, with these lies. Yeah, but through him is very important. So we're always through Christ. 1 John 4:9. Herein hath the love of Yahweh in us been made manifest, that his only begotten Son, Yahweh, sent into the world, in order that we might live, how?
Through him.
Through him.
We're not going to live if it's not through him. And that's why the people who died before him are still asleep. Because they haven't
have
made,
to be the king.
Yeah, they haven't made, in my, now this is my opinion, they haven't made him Lord because they don't even know who he is. He didn't exist. We have made him Lord. And so in my opinion, this is why we're going to be, you know, called the parousia of the Lord when the Lord comes back. Those people are going to be taken up with Christ because we've already made him our Lord. And then you're going to have tribulation, you know, 7 year of fighting. And then after that happens, he's going to raise the resurrection of the dead, which would be Moses and Abraham and everybody else. And they're going to get a chance, all right, because of the righteous deal. Of course, they're going to want to bow to Christ. In my opinion, that's their opportunity to bow to Christ. They're going to get to meet the Messiah. And the condition on this earth, you're going to bow to him. And they would say, absolutely. All right. And then you can all go through Christ. We don't have to go there. It's John 3:17 and 2 Corinthians 5:18. But all the way through the Word, it's through him, through him, through him, through him. Now, one last thing. And the slanderer, through the Christian church, has completely demolished the resurrection. The resurrection doesn't matter, because when somebody dies, I just heard that on a football game, and here's football players or coaches that died, and they're looking down on us right now, looking at this game. And these are unbelievers saying this. And so, which is very common, so these are concoctions, these are brews that are made that make the resurrection needless.
Yeah.
And it's a, well, we're going to come back for our bodies. You've been up there for a billion years or a thousand
that
years.
Old body for.
Yeah, what do you, and according to you saw Elijah and Moses, weren't those bodies? Of course they were bodies, you saw. And so they already have bodies. And so diabolical is the resurrection, since you're immortal, doesn't make any difference. You're judged upon death, and the resurrection means nothing. Now, how important is this? The resurrection is our hope, the certainty. And I love E.W. Bullard did a great thing on the there's no songs about the resurrection, because everybody's already there. And that's slander. But we have life, justice. So in the resurrection, there's going to be life, age of body for those who have chosen to live. There's going to be justice. We're going to get justice for people who have harmed us. And also, if we've harmed other people, we can be served with justice to them. There's going to be death to those who refuse to bow. And there's going to be rewards for all the good things that you do. And there's going to be punishment that's going to be there. That's all in the resurrection. The book of Acts uses the word resurrection 18 times. That's the gospel of Christianity, is the resurrection. The church says Jesus never died. They say his body died, but he was in hell where he was transported someplace else. And we have 1 Corinthians 15 that there is no, if there's no resurrection, if Christ wasn't raised, it's all futile. We're all dead and without hope. So we kind of sum up in Acts 23, page 144. Thanks for coming. Tell your friends.
It's coffee in the lobby.
Now listen to this. This is the whole message of Christianity, and in churches today it doesn't even exist. Songs doesn't even exist. But Paul, getting to know the one part was Sadducees and the other Pharisees, began to cry aloud in the council, "Brethren, I am a Pharisee, son of a Pharisee, concerning a hope even of the rising again of what?
The dead.
Of the dead, am I to be judged?" Let's go to 24, verse 21, same book. "Unless concerning this one voice wherewith I cried aloud among them as I stood, concerning the raising of the dead, am I to be judged this day by you?" That's Paul's whole message, the raising of the dead. And when he said it to the Athens, what did they do?
They mocked him.
And if you say it to the Christian church today, they're going to mock you. Because everybody's already alive. So 1 Corinthians 15, we got a whole book on it, 1 Corinthians 15, that they completely discard. And as we know, 1 Corinthians 14, they completely discard also. And so I've got a paper on the book of Corinthians, on how many things are discarded in the book of Corinthians. You know, 1 Corinthians 5 is discarded. You know, it goes on and on and on. And this was the Corinthian church, and here it is, the Christian church today. They are the Corinthian church all over again. So we'll end there. Just about on time. Good.
Mike?
I ran a little bit long.
Yeah. Maybe sticking out of that will probably get your mother.
Okay. I'm going to have a prophecy for those from our Heavenly Father, listening and watching. But Father, we thank you for these words through our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Christ, for making us all possible. Without you, we would not be alive. We would not even be created. So we can't wait to see you face to face. We can't wait to, you are ahead right now, and we're your hands and your feet and your mouth, to take your instructions, where each day we can say, I'm going to bear fruit to you. And so in our each individual ministries and each service, we can focus on you, and you, through the Ruach HaKodesh, Yahweh in Christ in us, you will tell us your will so we can perform that, our ministry. So we thank you for these words, for pouring out the Holy Ruach on us, Father, through our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahushua. Be bold and be courageous, for you are victors. You are not non-victors, think of the word, but you have been given the victory through my Son, Mashiach Yahushua. You have been given power above all comprehension. So at all times, look at my word and act upon that word, and it shall set you free, and it shall put you in the high places where you sit with my Son at this particular time, and keep focusing on the hope that I've set before you. Amen. See you next week.